Let's start with a Gear Up audit, Department of Legislative Audit report released this week. You wrote about it. Why don't you give us an update on what that report said?
Yeah. So the report came out Monday evening and essentially said that the Department of Education should have recognized that there were potential conflicts of interest at Mid-Central Educational Cooperative in Platt. Obviously, that cooperative has been under scrutiny over the last few months following the death of the group's business manager and his wife, along with their children. So that report, for the first time, sort of cast some blame to the state for what had happened there and said the Department of Education really should have seen some of those contracts between employees at Mid-Central and some other groups that were getting Gear Up dollars and said, hey, we need to put in place some additional policies to make sure that you are not benefiting financially from those sort of conflicts of interest that existed.
Are they saying that they should have noticed in the contract details, or they should have noticed that there were no positive results coming from all the money that was getting funneled, or do they have specifics as far as what the Department of Education should have been able to identify?
The way they lay it out in the audit, it seems they're saying the department should have seen that these employees had other contracts with different organizations that were getting money from Gear Up. It didn't go into specifics of whether those organizations were putting out positive results with that money. There were some double billings for salaries. Mid-Central salaries were being billed to the Gear Up Fund and to the state. And the audit essentially says you should have seen that that was occurring. The department has said, though, that there was a level of deceit that they couldn't have found at the department level, and they should not be blamed for what was happening there.
So that was my next question, is what kind of response is the department having? They're saying that there was a criminal activity, and therefore they really couldn't keep up with the fact that someone was intentionally trying to deceive them. Is that how I understand it?
Right. They're saying they did all they could to try to help Mid-Central. At a surface level, it didn't seem like anything criminal was going on there because the employees who were involved in the embezzlement scheme were really working to deceive the department. They labeled their contracts and their work with other organizations in such a way that they weren't having to be audited. If they had been, the department likely could have seen some of those double billings or other expenditures that were being billed to the state and to the Gear Up program sooner.
And so they had been tracking at the Department of Education what Melody Shop called incompetence for some time. Right. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And could the argument be made that they did finally get to the bottom of it? It just took 3 years? Is that what they're saying, too? Or
I think it definitely does show that there are answers. There obviously were a lot of questions beginning in September from the time that the contract was terminated. It's the first time that the media and the public are really seeing what was going on at a deeper level at Mid-Central, what the department knew and when they knew it. And obviously, the department is saying we didn't know very much. We wouldn't have gotten to the bottom of this without this audit and without deeper investigation from DCI and from the state overall.
So what kind of additional policies does the report recommend to prevent something like this from happening in the future?
They recommend additional oversight, disclosing any sort of conflicts of interest that might exist at other organizations that are administering similar grants or similar financial programs like that. And the department says in the audit that they are planning to put policies like that in place as they look at the Board of Regents, the new administrator of the Gear Up grant, and it sounds like they are prepared to offer that level of oversight that perhaps they weren't providing to Mid-Central.
Oversight by whom?
oversight by the department. Technically, they are still the ones tasked with making sure that the grant is administered properly. Mm-hmm. They don't directly do that. That is going through the Board of Regents now. So the department needs to be sure that the Board of Regents has conflict of interest policy in place, is following it, and isn't necessarily benefiting financially from any contract that it makes through that grant.
So does the Department of Education say we've already got that in place for the future, or they're working on it?
It sounds like they have it in place. They've also hired an additional employee to work exclusively on the Gear Up grant and to make sure that no situation like what happened at Mid-Central occurs in the future.
So let's talk a little bit about legislation, conflict of interest bill that was passed and some that didn't get through all the way through the session. What are the updates on that? House Bill 1214 was unanimously passed. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is the second year that lawmakers have really considered conflict of interest policy. There were a number of other bills that were brought in the State House. Not all of them obviously made it through. Democrats are upset about that, as they brought a number of other bills that would have been a lot stricter on conflicts of interest, but Republicans say it's a good step in the right direction, and they are open to bringing more in the future.
So Democrats are disappointed with what happened, but not all Republicans seem to agree that that conflict of interest bill goes far enough. Marty Jackley was in, you wrote an article about him and some of the comments he made about the current conflict of interest laws. Do you want to give us an update there?
Sure. Last week, he held a press conference in Platt dealing with the charges that the state brought against three in connection to the embezzlement scheme at Mid-Central. And he said, "I would like to bring more charges. I wish there were stricter penalties, but it's not something I can do if those laws aren't on the books." He sort of called on lawmakers to reconsider these policies and really started discussion about making some stricter penalties for conflicts of interest that exist in the state, especially among state employees. As we mentioned, there have been a few pieces of legislation that look at that, but they don't apply to all lawmakers or state boards or agencies. And so he said he wants to reconsider that, and obviously he could be a candidate for governor in 2018. So Representative Mickelson yesterday was saying that Jackley's calls for additional conversation on conflicts of interest are likely more politically motivated than they are really wanting to come to the table and have that discussion. And Jackley fired back and said, "No, it's not politically motivated. This is something I think we really need to do."
And somebody asked him, that was what his comments were in response to a question at the press conference
right.
in Platt. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, it was.
So his office would have provided input on the laws, but they don't draft them necessarily. So he's provided input, and maybe that input wasn't responded to in a way that he found satisfactory?
Right. And obviously, in drafting some of that legislation, they could not have foreseen what happened at Mid-Central. They were, at that point, responding to the EB-5 situation and doing everything they could to sort of create policy that seemed relevant at that time. Obviously, a matter of months later, there was this murder-suicide in Platt, and they had to again sit down and have this conversation and peer about what the state's conflict of interest laws should look like, sort of responding now to both of those situations in Europe and in EB-5.
Hmm. So since the last time we talked, you had a piece in the Argus Leader about the winners and losers of the 2016 legislative session, and it was interesting and sort of fun at the same time. So why don't you give us an idea of who you think the big winners of the session were this year?
Sure. So I think one of the biggest winners of the legislative session is Governor Dugard. He obviously had a huge success in bringing his education package, a set of three bills that really overhaul the state's education funding model and put in place a half-cent sales tax increase to fund that. It wasn't an easy process getting that through the state house. It was a couple of months of really fighting with lawmakers to get the package to a place where they could all agree with it. And at the end, they didn't all agree, but enough of them did. So in that sense, I think he could be viewed as a big winner. He wasn't able to bring Medicaid expansion as he'd talked about prior to the legislative session, but that could still be coming. Another winner, I would say, would be the LGBT community. There were a set of bills that sort of targeted that community. Chief among them was a transgender bathroom bill that the legislature approved, but Dugard eventually vetoed, and the override didn't stick for that measure. So they really celebrated the defeat of those bills and said, we've had this opportunity to unite as a community, and now we're going to be able to come back stronger if there's similar legislation next year. Teachers also getting paid more this year. They can be seen as winners, as well as government watchdogs. A few open records policies were passed, and so that can be seen as a bit of a win for them.
And how about the losers? We hate to say that word, losers,
right.
But who kind of got bruised or beat up a little bit during this session, I guess?
I think you could say that, like you said, it's hard to call them losers, but conservative Republicans got beat up a little bit by the governor's office and by the LGBT community and others as they tried to fight against the teacher pay measures. As they said that they would be too much of a burden on the state's low-income residents. So I think that was sort of a loss for them, as well as not passing that set of bills aimed at transgender individuals. I would say that low-income residents are also going to be seen as losers, as they will face the sales tax increase and might not be able to afford it. Medical marijuana advocates were also seen as losers. They weren't able to get a bill passed that would have allowed for cannabidiol, a drug that is a derivative of marijuana. They won't be able to use that at this point for seizure disorders, even though that made a strong run in the state house. And I wrote also that Representative Schoenbeck could be seen as a winner or as a loser, sort of a toss-up.
He's a big toss-up at the end of the story, which is, yeah, sort of clever and fun, but also sort of serious. It was a big story when it happened, and now he has a party of one. Is that what he said? So
yes, exactly.
Yeah. The winner is that he still has a sense of humor about everything that happened this session as tempers flared.
Exactly.
Dana Ferguson, it is always a pleasure. You're doing great work. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Dana Ferguson is a watchdog state government and political reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader.